chapter 3, verses 12 to 18. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We're not like Moses, who had put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Righty, I have a question to start off with. What do the rock band Queen, Beyoncé, ABBA, and Nelly Furtado all have in common? It's a crazy question, but totally obvious if you think about the title of our talk. They've all done songs on freedom, along with so many other bands. Freedom is something that we all just crave, we want, we sing about it. So here's another question for you. How many books of the Bible have something to say about freedom? 66 books in the Bible. How many of them do you reckon have something to say about freedom? Absolutely, exactly. If you take freedom and then its opposite, captivity, every single book of the Bible has something to say, because freedom's like, it's like this refrain that keeps coming back all through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. It's all this big story of freedom. And it's something which, it really speaks to me at the moment. So some of you know this, both my girls have had chicken pox recently. One of them still does. We've spent a lot of time reminiscing about how wonderful lockdown is, because we've been isolating. And the pandemic did that. It just reminded us all of how much we need and we crave freedom. The restrictions were great. It kept us safe, but we all just longed for the end of them. So deep down, we just have this natural inbuilt desire freedom. And so the words in this passage, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. It's so welcome to hear, isn't it? So how many of you have heard this corporate phrase, leaning in? Is that something you've heard, to lean in? Yeah, Nika has, yeah. So to lean in basically means what it says, it's leaning in. Imagine if you're talking to somebody and you're really interested in what they're saying, so you lean in because you really want to catch everything they're saying. Well, this is something I think that we need to do with this concept of freedom. We need to lean into it if we're going to actually hear and experience what God has to say. So that's what we're going to do this evening. We're going to lean into the passage and we're going to lean into this concept of freedom and think about how it can play out in our lives. So Paul starts with, therefore, since we have such hope. And when he's talking about hope, he's talking about the core of our faith. He's talking about the hope we have in Jesus, the hope that we have that Jesus has set us free from death. And that is the big freedom, freedom from death. Freedom to enjoy eternal life with him. And that's life-changing freedom for us here on earth too, because it gives us an eternal perspective. And Kate Patterson has written a really good book on this, Living for Eternity. And if you've not read it, definitely do read it, because she really digs into how, if we keep our eyes on that eternal perspective, it changes how we see the here and the now. And this ultimate freedom, it's not just a personal freedom for us, it's a freedom that's coming for the whole of creation. So in this passage, it says, The creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. So that was from Romans. So one day, everything is going to be free to be exactly as it was intended to be. Which is just such a wonderful thought, but it's not yet. But luckily, freedom is not just a future hope. We can get glimpses of God's kingdom here and now, so we don't want to miss out on the freedom that we can know right now, because Paul says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, present tense, and we know the Spirit of the Lord is here now. We thought about it last week, and we know that he says there is freedom, present tense. So there's something we can know about freedom right now. And in this passage, Paul talks about Moses wearing a veil. So this was because in the Old Testament, people couldn't look at God directly because he was just too holy. And when Moses went to go and interact with him, when he came down and spoke to people, his face would be glowing so brightly that everyone was terrified. So he used to cover it with a veil so that they didn't all freak out. And so that's what Paul's talking about. But now he says we can now have unveiled faces. And that's because we're free to approach God. We can look at him directly in the face of Jesus. And today, because it's Trinity Sunday, this is such a good passage because we can remember that in the face of Jesus, we see God the Father. And Jesus reconciled us to God through his death. So we're free, free to approach God. No more veils are needed. We don't need to be terrified of the glory of God. We are free from the condemnation that should go with our sins. But let's just have a little think more about this. In Romans 6:22, Paul says, now you have been set free from sin. So we know we've been set free from the punishment of sin, but can we be set free from sin itself? Well, if you've done the Alpha course, then you will have heard there's a lot of really good testimonies that go with this. And there's one that's always stuck in my mind of this man. He was a criminal, he was violent, he was into drug dealing, he was part of this whole gang warfare thing. And he had a near-death experience and he got close to Jesus in that moment. And from then on, his life switched, changed overnight. He became a chaplain and works in prisons and he shares God's word. And so sometimes there can be dramatic freedom from sin. And we know that God is in the business of transformation. And once we come to faith, he changes us. Sometimes dramatic ways, like with that man, but sometimes gradually and gently. And the biblical word for this is sanctification. And in today's passage, it says we're being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory. And I think this is where we need to do a little bit of leaning in. There's that corporate phrase, again, we can lean in and cooperate with what God is doing to free us from sin. And one way we can do that is to ask God to help to reveal our sins. So we all know about confession, where we tell God what we've done wrong, but there's a step before that where we can say to God, where am I getting it wrong? Show me. And a friend of mine, she was way too terrified to do this. She said, I don't want to ask God to show me my sin, because what if he shows me all of it? It will be awful. And so she was terrified. But then when she did it, she discovered, of course, God isn't like that. He was gentle and he started to reveal things. And he's incredibly helpful, because sometimes we can be in situations where we know there's something wrong in a relationship or a situation, and God can help us see how sin is playing a part in that. And Kate Patterson, I love her, so she comes up again. She was in one of our Oasis sessions a couple of weeks ago, and she reminded us that God is very specific when he convicts us of things that aren't quite right. The Holy Spirit gives us specific and helpful things that we can address. So if there's ever this kind of vague sense of guilt, or I'm not good enough, or I'm ashamed, or I'm just getting it wrong, that's not from God. God's way is those light bulb moments where the pennies drop and we go, oh yeah, I suppose I am seeing that situation in that way. Oh. And then, yes. And so it's God's way of lifting the veil, because the veil works in two ways. It prevented us from seeing the glory of God, but it also prevents us from seeing clearly. But the Holy Spirit lifts that veil and says, no, I'm going to reveal to you what's going on here. I want you to be free, and so I'm going to show you. And once we find out what's going on, sin and hurt often go together, don't they? And so God's on hand to help with that process. But there is another angle to freedom from sin, and that is the spiritual battle. So this passage from Colossians, Paul says, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So the enemy is often referred to as the father of lies. And that's because he likes to try and convince us that we can't change. He's feeding us with lies to tell us that, no, this sin is going to stay with us. But in this passage, Paul's reminding us, no, the power has been removed. Sin is still there. We still get tempted. It's all still a problem. But it doesn't have dominion over us anymore. And I went on this course about this, a course about freedom prayer. And I actually met some people from this church about 5 years before I moved here, which was really bizarre when I then saw them in church. It was great. But they gave us this lovely imagery that when you're praying these prayers of repentance, it's almost like we're declaring territory. We're saying, no, that part of my life belongs to God. It does not belong to the enemy. God, it's God's place. The enemy has no place in it. And so they gave us these five R's to help us to think about the whole process of repentance. You might have seen this before, but the first bit is about recognising sin, and we've talked about how God can help us with that process. And then there's repentance, and this isn't just being sorry, this is going the opposite way, it's turning around. And then receiving forgiveness, we're familiar with this, but often we skip over it because actually it's quite indulgent. But it's so important to remember how forgiven we are. But then the last two, this is the bit that I think we often do forget. Rebuke. So this is recognising that the enemy loves it when we sin, and he stirs and he feeds lies. And so this is saying, actually, that's not okay. That's really not okay, because we're children of God. And so we need to make it clear, and sometimes even say out loud, you have no place in this. And then that final word, replace. When we let go of a sin, it leaves a space, a void. And if you don't fill it with something good, then the sin can come back in. And so I've just got these wonderful memories on this course of people praying the Holy Spirit into the lives of people there, and just reminding us to replace whatever it was that we'd tried to let go of with something good in its place. If it was an issue with lying, then replace it with truth, something to really bed in the good. So we can know freedom from sin now, and it's not easy. We don't always get it right, and we're never going to be totally free from all of this because we're still living in this world, but we can cooperate with what God is doing. So we've thought about freedom from death, freedom from sin, but what other freedom does the Bible speak of? Well, we know we're going to suffer in this life. I mean, I've got these spot-covered children at home, which reminds me sickness is very much still a part of our experience. We can't be free of it. God does sometimes bring healing, and that's a wonderful freedom when it comes, but we know it doesn't always come. But what we can know is freedom from being alone in the suffering. God reminds us multiple times, here's five verses, multiple times in the Bible, that he will always be with us. I'm with you always to the end of the age. In Deuteronomy, he will not leave or forsake you. And that's so important. It's even repeated in Hebrews. And then the 23rd Psalm, for you're with me. your rod and staff, they comfort me. And then we've been thinking about the Holy Spirit in particular tonight. He will give you another helper to be with you forever. So this point is being made loud and clear. Even when it feels dark, God is with us. He'll never let us suffer alone. And I think this is one that we really need to lean into sometimes, actually. Personally, I find it really difficult to invite God into suffering sometimes. I shut him out. And something I've been trying recently is being in silence with God. So perhaps whatever's going on is making me too cross with him to want to pray, but I can be in silence. And sometimes I might repeat one of these phrases, "I'm always with you," as I'm in that silence. And every time God speaks into it, something which is loving, and the crossness goes away, and then he's in the suffering with me. And it's just wonderful how God finds a way to connect with us if we invite him, if we let him, if we give him a chance. And then Paul takes it even a step further. So this is a passage from Philippians where Paul's writing from prison. And actually that video we just heard from Svetlana just reminded me of this, that within the suffering, we can know peace and contentment. So that lady in the Ukraine, knowing peace and contentment because she's listening to these radio stories which are keeping her mind in a good place. I think that's such a wonderful example of God's grace, of how even in the midst of a war, there can be peace. But there's one final aspect of freedom that we can think about this evening, and that's freedom from exclusion. One of the reasons why Jesus caused so much of a stir when he was around on earth doing his ministry was his associations with outcasts, those people excluded from society. I'm sure if I asked you, you could list a load of people that he engaged with. Prostitutes, lepers, tax collectors, all these people who society hated. But Jesus interacted with them. And in every case, he didn't reject them. He noticed them, he welcomed them, and he helped them. And society can be really cruel today, and people can be excluded. But Jesus wants to give us a glimpse of that inclusion, that freedom to be welcome, that freedom that everyone's going to find in heaven. And I think us as a church with an open door, we were remembering that, weren't we, the APCM, that's kind of our tagline. And I think that gives us a real chance to lean into that too, to be that welcoming church that doesn't exclude. So we've thought about how God's story, the whole story, is one of freedom. He's paved the way for that ultimate freedom, the big freedom from death into eternal life. But there's all these opportunities to experience freedom now. And I thought it'd be quite nice just for us to have a little bit of prayer time now, just to lean into this promise of freedom and just to see what God wants to say to each one of us. There could be different things that I've said that have struck a nerve with you, perhaps. And so let's just have a time of prayer, but we'll just see what God wants to do with it. Lord God, thank you that you are a God of freedom. Thank you that we can have hope in you, not just hope for the end, not just hope for the world and eternal life, but hope now. Hope for freedom now. Lord, thank you for these glimpses of freedom that you want us to experience. Lord, thank you that through your Holy Spirit you want to reveal to us. You want to show us where there's freedom that we can experience. Lord, I pray now that you would come to us, that you would show us perhaps where there are lies or worries or freedom from sin that we need. Lord, we come to you with open hearts. God, we thank you for that freedom you want to give us. And Lord, we pray that over the next week, that we would just have unveiled faces to see your glory, but unveiled to see how you're at work. Through Jesus' name, amen.